Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to John chapter 4. We're continuing our study in the Gospel according to John. We are in chapter 4, and Jesus has been in Samaria. Our focus will begin in verse 43, but I'm going to remind you, starting back in verse 39, so that we get the stream here. John chapter 4, the reading begins in verse 39, and our focus this morning is on verse 43 and following. This is God's word. "Now, many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of what the woman said when she testified, 'He told me about everything I ever did.' So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of what he said, and they told the woman, 'We no longer believe because of what you said, since we have heard for ourselves and know that this really is the Savior of the world.' After 2 days, he left there for Galilee. Jesus himself had testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. When they entered Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him because they had seen everything he did in Jerusalem during the festival, for they also had gone to the festival. He went again to Cana of Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. There was a certain royal official whose son was ill at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea into Galilee, he went to him and pleaded with him to come down and heal his son, since he was about to die. Jesus told him, 'Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will not believe.' 'Sir,' the official said to him, 'come down before my boy dies.' 'Go,' Jesus told him, 'your son will live.' The man believed what Jesus said to him and departed. While he was still going down, his servants met him, saying that his boy was alive. He asked them at what time he got better. 'Yesterday at 1 p.m, the fever left him,' they answered. The father realized that this was the very hour at which Jesus had told him, 'Your son will live.' So he himself believed, along with his whole household. Now, this was also the second sign Jesus performed after he came from Judea to Galilee." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. I want you to notice, first of all, that in that sort of introduction that we read when Jesus was still in Samaria, it says they believed initially on the basis of what the woman said about Jesus. And what she said about Jesus had to do with what Jesus had said to her. "He told me everything I ever did." But then when they come, they become persuaded that this really is the Savior of the world. On what basis? On the basis of, again, hearing what Jesus said. Please notice that. They believed, many more believed, because of what he said. Now, when Jesus goes into Galilee, the people welcomed him, even though Jesus says prophets not without honor except in his hometown. But they welcomed him on the basis not of what he was saying, but on the basis of the things they had seen him do when they'd all gone to the festival. They were there and they saw the amazing, miraculous things that Jesus did. Well, I thought this is the second miracle. No, this is the second sign that John is highlighting. But John tells us Jesus did so many miraculous things that if they were all written down, the earth couldn't contain the books. Okay? Jesus didn't just do a few miracles. Jesus did miracle after miracle after miracle. But the appetite of the people for miracles just continued no matter how many miracles he did.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
And so when Jesus comes where they are, the Galileans welcomed him because they had seen everything he did in Jerusalem during the festival. He went again to Cana of Galilee, where he turned the water into wine, and he's greeted by a man from out of town. A fellow from Capernaum has come to where Jesus is in order to ask him desperately, please heal my son. My son is dying. This is urgent. Please heal my son. And Jesus' response to him might seem a little off-putting to us. Jesus told him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will not believe. I'm sorry, but I wouldn't have scripted it that way. You know what I mean? I mean, this guy has traveled to where Jesus is because his son is dying. And he's asking Jesus, please come. Heal my son before he dies. And Jesus is rebuking the lack of faith on the part of those who are looking for miracles. He says, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will not believe. These people were not going on the basis of what Jesus said. They weren't longing to hear Jesus teaching. They wanted miracles. I just want us to consider for a moment, why do you approach the Lord? Because you're eager to learn, eager to hear? Are you going into His Word because you want to know more and you know that His Word is true? Or do we come to God most often and most urgently when there's something we want him to do for us? Our oldest son has had over 40 surgeries, and there have been a bunch of times when it looked as if he wasn't going to make it. And believe me, we have prayed and we have asked others to pray. The fact of the matter is, we should be eager to know God's word just for the joy of knowing him better. But somehow when it's your child who's ill, there's a whole different urgency. And Jesus understands that, and Jesus is going to respond to it. But Jesus rebukes the attitude of the people who are just eager to see another miracle. They just want to see a sign. It's a great show. There are lots and lots of churches, including many churches, that do not believe that God's still working miracles, where the big draw is show. It's entertainment. Just got back from doing a conference in North Carolina this past few days. We met with people from all around the Southeast, and we talked about what's going on in the churches across our land. Many of these folks have had heartbreaking experiences with pastors who were well respected until all of a sudden the truth came out. There are a whole lot of people in church leadership for whom it's show business. And there are a whole lot of churches that like it that way. And that's why when a guy gets in moral trouble, instead of being removed, he's given some time off to try and heal. Because as church leaders say, in those churches, it would just be a shame, given how gifted he is, for him not to be in the pulpit. And besides, nobody else can fill the pews and meet the budget. There's no business like show business. And that's what tons and tons and tons of people who were drawn to Jesus were looking for. They wanted a show. Herod even wanted to see some miracles. He'd heard about it. Does anybody here remember David Copperfield? Okay. I mean, that's really cool. Even though it's on TV, it's like, how does he do that? Okay. And so with Jesus, there were people who wanted, just out of fascination for the spectacular, to see Jesus do some miracles. But they weren't interested in what he had to say. And so Jesus rebukes that attitude, but the Father says, I don't want to discuss theology. I'm not interested in miracles in general. I love my son. Please, please, come down before my son dies. And Jesus doesn't go with him. I mean, wouldn't you think that's the right thing to do? Jesus doesn't go. I'll come, of course. You know, I understand. Jesus says, go. Go. Your son will live. Wow. No show? The crowd doesn't get to follow as they would on other occasions in order to see the thing happen? Jesus says, go. Your boy's going to be all right. He's going to live. And so the Father did something, and this is the heart of today's message. The Father believed what Jesus said to him and departed. I really am not crazy about that translation because they, even though it's not wrong, it neglects the fact that the word here is he believed the word that Jesus spoke to him. And if you know the Gospel of John, the whole notion of the word is central to John's message because Jesus is the Word incarnate. Okay? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, the man, better translated here, the man believed the word Jesus spoke to him. He believed the word. He believed the word. The NIV takes a little liberty to make it more like we would say it today. He took Jesus at his word. He took him at his word. Okay? But literally, it's he believed the word that Jesus spoke. Folks, every time Jesus is doing miracles, he always gives a command. He always gives direction. God has chosen to work his miracles in the context of obedience to his word. Let me say that again, and please get it. God has chosen to work his miracles in the context of obedience to his word. This man believed and obeyed. It's obedient faith. That's the context. That's what God honors. If you don't believe what God says, you're probably not going to do what God says. But if you claim to believe what God says and you refuse to do what God says, read the book of James. Okay? Faith without works is dead. It's not real faith. You don't really believe what God says if you don't do what God says. So do you believe his word? This man believed what Jesus said, and he didn't stand there and argue with Jesus and say, no, I'd feel a lot better if you'd come with me. Jesus said, go, your son will live. The man believed the word Jesus spoke to him, and he went. He went. He believed it, and he departed. And while he was still going down, his servants met him with good news, saying that the boy was alive. And he asked them, what time did he get better? Yesterday at 1 p.m, the fever left him, they answered. And the father realized that this was the very hour at which Jesus had told him, your son will live. So he himself believed along with his whole household. What happened to that boy? Do you know? He died. I thought Jesus said he would live. He did. He lived. And then he died. Do you know what happened to the boy's father? He died. Do you know what happened to all the disciples? They died. You know what's going to happen to all of us? We're going to die. You know what happened to Jesus? He died. But he didn't stay dead. He conquered death. And what's really important is not getting ourselves physically healed. That's not what really matters. It's nice. I greatly prefer good health over sickness. Okay? It's just easier. Being sick is a bummer. But as much as we want ourselves to be healed, and as much as we want those we love to be healed, if we all get what we're asking for and we all get healed, we're still going to have to die. My mother died at age 99. When she was in her 90s, she fell and broke her hip and tried to assure us that she was fine. We had always joked for years that we were going to put on Mom's tombstone, really, I'm fine. Because, I mean, mother always felt whatever her problems were, they weren't significant. It's okay. This is just passing. When my brother insisted she be taken to the hospital after she'd passed out, I was there doing some paperwork, and the doctor was interviewing my mom, who was lying on a gurney, and she called to me, Jim, Jim. And I said, yes, ma'am. She said, what year were you born? And I said, 1954. And she looked at the doctor and she said, 1954. And I said, I'm sorry, what, you know, because I'm trying to figure out why they need to know how old I am. And the doctor had asked, when were you last in the hospital? Here's the thing. When they did the surgery on her hip, the surgeon said, it's unbelievable how good her bones are. I mean, in her 90s, her bones were still solid. She'd been a tennis player when she was young, and I guess she ate right and had good Norwegian genes. All right? But I thought, well, that's impressive. My mom is in remarkable physical condition for a woman in her 90s. Isn't that great? But you know what? The undertaker, the mortician who prepared my mom for burial said, it's remarkable what good shape she's in. She was dead. You understand? But my mom had one of the healthiest corpses in the cemetery. Okay? She was just in remarkable shape for a dead person. Especially a dead person of 99. Now the reason I'm laboring this point is because I want to make it clear, we spend so much of our life focused on trying to get God to do stuff for us, it's not going to last, and he's already told us that. Okay? Oh, God, if I could just get this. Oh, if I could just get that. Oh, if I could just accomplish this and do that, and it's all going to go away. What really matters is our relationship with him. Everything else is passing away. Everything else is passing away. Even if we save someone else's life physically, which would feel to me like a tremendous accomplishment. But even if we saved somebody else's life, you know what's going to happen to them after we save them? They're going to die. They're going to die. And we're going to die. So what matters is our relationship with him. And we come to know him not so much through all the miracles that he has done, though he has done many miraculous things. We've seen such amazing answers to prayer in our life. We can't keep count. My wife writes my books, okay? I speak and she turns them into books. But sometimes I would dictate stuff to her to just put straight down. And one of the things we worked on was we've got to make note of some of these things that God has done to answer prayer in miraculous ways. And I mean, we finally quit putting stuff down because it was just like, we don't like long books. God has done so many things. And it's amazing. And we're grateful. But the way we got to know him is through his word. It's through his word. And I'm still learning. I'm still getting to know him better as I continue to study his word. So I want to ask you, do you approach his word with as much eagerness as you approach him when you're wanting somebody to be healed physically? Do you want to know him, or do you just want whatever the latest need is that you want him to meet? If you really want to know him and you really want to see him do amazing stuff, take him at his word. Believe what he says. And then as you see things happening, because God always keeps his word. This man believed along with his whole household. What happened? They realized his word is true because he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the one that we've been looking for. The Samaritans described it. Now we know that he is the Savior of the world. And there were some, even in Galilee, where Jesus would be despised and rejected, where his own family would have a hard time believing that he really is the Messiah. Even in Galilee, there were some, like this royal official in Capernaum, who could no longer deny what he'd experienced. He knew Jesus really is who he claimed to be. This was the second sign that Jesus performed after he came from Judea to Galilee. I want to ask you this morning to believe his word. And what you and I desperately need is to know him. Believe his word and obey.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.